Welcome to episode 41 of Booty and Bossy, Eat, Drink, Knit. And before we start with our recipe, we have a very important public service announcement, which is that we are going to be hosting a Zoom get-together on Friday, April 4th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 and 6 p.m. Middle Earth time. Grab a glass of wine, and we're going to be joined by Kim Davis. We interviewed her in episode 39. Remember, she is one of the hosts of Slaycation, but also a crafter extraordinaire. So we thought this would be a great opportunity to get together some of our listeners, some of her listeners. We're going to have prizes.
Yes. So join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Mom might even show up.
Mom, we're telling everybody that you're coming, so no pressure, but you better show up.
If you've already subscribed to our newsletter, then you'll get an email with a link, and the link will be a form to sign up for the Zoom.
Yeah. So if you have not subscribed, you should subscribe so that you can join us, and we'll send you the link. So very excited about that. April 4th, 7 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, fun get together with Kim Davis. So, Booty, what are you cooking these days? Do you want to tell us about that?
A recipe for this time. And I'm pretty sure that Bossy sent me this book. It's called Around My French Table, More Than 300 Recipes from My Home to Yours by Dory Greenspan. We were noticing on the cover, the quote says, "I'll be working my way through every easy, delicious recipe, Ina Garten." So if Ina likes it, you know it's going to be good.
Yep.
And then she also has some quotes from David Leibowitz, who wrote The Sweet Life in Paris and Ready for Dessert. Big fan of his. And Adam Gopnik, who we have talked about, who wrote Paris to the Moon. The recipe is essentially a quick bread called savory cheese and chive bread. But I think she called it a cake salé, which I know you think, but wait, French for cake is gâteau, not cake. But they do say cake. I think it's one of those, like they say le sofa and le weekend.
Mm.
And salé means savory or salty.
Oh.
Essentially, you're going to mix together some flour, baking powder, salt, pepper, and then separately, you're going to whisk together eggs, milk, and olive oil. And then you're going to pour those wet ingredients into the dry. And okay, can I just say, number one, I love that. And I realize this is two bowls.
It is.
Yeah, plus the pan you have to. But I love that it doesn't use butter because I always feel like it's such a pain to melt the butter.
Oh, yeah.
So this is nice. I like that. And then you add some grated cheese, and she has you doing grated cheese and then having like little cubes of cheese that you mix in. Honestly, I don't know if the cubes made that big of a difference, but I did it both ways and it's good either way, but you get a more melty,
yeah,
cheese with the cubes. And chives or other herbs, I had those little containers of dehydrated chives.
Oh yeah.
And basil, so I used
oh.
both.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, and it's kind of like whatever herbs you have on hand. I do think fresh herbs or the dehydrated are better than,
yeah, just the regular dried. Yeah.
And then the other thing is toasted walnuts, which I did not toast.
You didn't toast your walnuts? It says in the recipe to toast the walnuts.
They were so good, though. We have talked about nuts in the past. So we don't like nuts in our baked goods. But in this case, I think they give it a really nice flavor. And she talks about having it once it's cooled, so that you're just putting the whole thing in a loaf pan, baking it for 35 to 45 minutes. I found it did need a good I think I was right around 40.
Yeah, I think I was a full 40 minutes
Yeah.
at least. Yeah.
But once it's cool, that you can toast the bread and have it with a little glass of wine. So it would be nice to have for your happy hour or your knit night with Booty and Bossy.
That's what we were thinking. Yes, is that I made it with scallions the first time because I didn't have any chives. I have to say, when my chives come up, when they poke through the snow that we still have, I think this will be really good. I also was making something with bacon, and so I chopped up some bacon really fine and threw that in. I didn't put in the nuts, but you make me think I should try the nuts. Maybe if I chop them up really finely. I used Gruyere and I didn't feel that the Gruyere had tons of taste. I did it another time and I used cheddar. And I think cheddar with actual fresh chives, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, I did it both ways. I did a Gruyere and I did it with cheddar. They were both really good. I also like that you can freeze it, so make it ahead of time.
What was the response of the ungrateful children?
The ungrateful children loved it. They've been eating it for breakfast. It is a great thing to have for breakfast. I suppose it's kind of a lot of eggs, but I had those egg white little muffin things with the bread and a salad. It's a perfect lunch or dinner.
Well, and I put in, she has a quarter teaspoon of freshly ground white pepper. I have to say, it's hard to find white pepper. She also, though, says you can even add a pinch of cayenne. I skipped the white pepper, which I didn't have, and added, I've probably added about a quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper. And that was really good. It just had this nice little heat right at the end, and with the cheese and the cayenne and the herbs, it was really tasty.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, thanks. I forgot about the cayenne. That was a really good addition. Well, and she says you could also add ham, bacon bits, olives, sun-dried tomatoes. It is really versatile.
It's the sort of savory bread version of Kim's chicken curry, whatever you have on hand. I mean, it's very similar to a muffin type dough. It's pretty thick. I actually just threw in the cheese and everything with the dry ingredients, and then I added the wet. I found it was easier to mix it all in that way rather than making the dough and then adding it in. Like a muffin dough, you don't want to actually overwork it. I think I would throw in whatever herbs and cheese. I did like the chunks because they melted and had these little sort of cheesy, it's about the cheese, grommet. Cheesy bits in the
Yes.
middle of the bread. Yeah, so it's got a good basic one loaf savory muffin bread that you can then add whatever you want. It's pretty dense. I definitely think it's better toasted with butter.
I don't know that it needs butter, but definitely toasting.
My husband put a lot of butter on his because everything is basically a surface or an opportunity for the application of butter. It's a good sort of savory thing, like you said, to have on hand that's very tasty, but it could be a good hors d'oeuvre just to slice up. I would still toast it. Yeah. Well, and we like Dory Greenspan. She's not as maybe well known as Martha and Ina, only because she doesn't have a TV show, but she has written 14 cookbooks. I was looking on her website. She was born in Brooklyn and she burned her parents' kitchen down when she was 12. That's an accomplishment. So she didn't cook again until she got married.
Oh no.
She's not allowed, apparently.
Yeah. That's one way to get my cooking.
I recognized her name because there's a lot of stuff in the New York Times. She's won 5 James Beard awards for journalism. She actually wrote a book, Baking with Julia. She's probably more known as a baker. And she's written a total of 14 cookbooks. And did you know that she was working on her doctorate? Guess what she was working on her doctorate in?
Renaissance study.
No. Although that would be funny. She was working on her doctorate in gerontology when she discovered she enjoyed baking cookies in the basement of a restaurant more than studying gerontology. And thankfully, cookies, kind of like Ina, cookies saved her.
As they do so many people.
Yes, love this recipe. The around my French table. She has a home in France. She divides her time between France, Paris, France. Have
Paris,
you
France.
heard that's a pretty well-known
Yeah,
city?
I think that's a pretty
Paris,
nice city.
France. Yeah, New York City and Westbrook, Connecticut. And she says, "Yes, I consider myself extraordinarily lucky." I think that's mainly the Paris part that she's talking about. I've made some other things from around my French table. There's a great mushroom soup recipe in there too, and it's a great cookbook and a beautiful one too. I do like, I don't know if you read this part right next to the recipe. It's on page 37. She has these various moments where she talks about living in France, especially for an American, and she says complaining the French way. And she tells about going to a cheese store and saying, "I want the perfect cheese," and they do a good job, but the brie is not quite right. So she goes back the next day and they're like, "Well, how was it?" And she says, "Well, the brie wasn't quite right." And so then from then on, they give her even better service because she complained, but she complained in a polite and nice way. So that's what you need to do if you want really good service in France, is you say, "Well, it wasn't quite perfect." And
Yes.
then that sets the bar for them, but you're nice about it. So there's all sorts of little good tips like that
Yes.
in this
Yeah,
book.
that's funny.
Yeah. Well, Booty, do you want to talk about our knitting and pop culture moment?
Yeah, so I stumbled across this Pixar short, and I was like, we have to do this for the podcast because it's a yarny adventure. It's called Purl, Purl. And the premise is this pink ball of yarn named Purl has recently gotten a job at a big corporation. And she walks in at with her box of of things for her desk, which is like knitting needles and a mug with a yarn
I'd
ball.
rather be knitting, I think, is what
Right.
is on it.
And even her computer, her laptop has like a knitted cover. So, and everybody else in the office is a white male
Yes.
wearing a business suit, and they're all sort of the old boy network. We're talking about sports. They're joking about cars and
They like to go out and eat wings.
Right,
All
they're
of
going,
the stereotypes.
you're right, all the stereotypes. And she's trying to break into this old boy network. And so she tries to fit in by being herself at first. And that doesn't
Which is
work.
hard because she's a pink ball of yarn. Sea of black suits and white shirts and nice haircuts.
And I love when she gets mad at herself because that her joke, she says, "Why does a spider weave webs?" And they say, "I don't know." And she says, "Because it doesn't know how to crochet." And they all look at her like she's nuts. And
What is that?
what
Yeah.
is that? Is that like a sport or something? And so she kicks her coffee mug, and when she kicks her coffee mug, she makes a knot in her leg.
Yes.
So that she's sort of stumbling around, which was cute. So basically, it doesn't work to be herself. So they all go out to happy hour. They don't invite her. So then she re-knits herself in the bathroom, and
Yeah.
she basically knits herself into a business suit. So now she's got a pink head, but a
Yeah.
flat. They accept her. She starts acting like them. They wind up liking her ideas because she's.
Well, she's presenting them like them, and she's no longer using knitting analogies like when she initially goes into the staff meeting and she says, "Why don't we knit our ideas together?" They're like, "No, that's too soft. You've got to be aggressive, you know."
Right. Aggressive. Well, and so they include her in their happy hour, and she's very excited. As she's leaving, this new ball of yarn, who's yellow,
Lacey.
Lacey, and it's clear that now Lacey is the one that's going to be ostracized. And by the way, Pearl was hired because she was, quote, clearly the most qualified
Yes.
for the position. And so Pearl has this sort of moment of, do I change who I am to be with the
Yeah.
old boy network, or do I help this new person or new
Yeah.
newbie in the office? And so she does go over and
Well, initially though, she kind of cracks a joke at Lacey's expense. She says, "Why don't you leave your knitting at Nana's house?" And all of them laugh. And there is this moment where she's trading social capital there for by insulting the newcomer, but then she thinks better of it.
Yeah, right. And then at the final scene, they've got everybody, you know, there's balls of yarn and white men working
I notice that the men in the beginning, the men are all wearing black suits and white shirts and like black ties. I mean, they pretty much look fairly identical. And in the final scene, they're wearing different colored shirts, and they're sort of the idea that everybody's more free to be themselves in this space.
Yes, and I think that is such a great message because that's what we're aiming for with inclusion, that when you include more people, then everybody gets to be themselves.
I don't know though. I had kind of mixed feelings about it. I mean, I felt like this came out, I think, in 2018, which was in the middle of the beginning of the Me Too movement. And I thought it was sort of brilliant that instead of having a woman, they have this sort of symbol of, you know, this pink ball of yarn coming into this workspace. And the director, Kristen Lester, said that when she started at Pixar, she was the only woman, and she felt, you know, that she was entering this very male space. Do you remember the title of the company?
Oh, bro.
BRO, Bro Industries. Yes. So it's got these moments, and I loved at the beginning because one of the things that makes her different, obviously she's round
Soft.
and soft and colorful, and she speaks a different language. When she uses these puns, they don't know what she's talking about, and I thought that was very clever how it honed in on part of the problem is that you're not speaking the same language almost. And they say, well, what is crochet? Is that some sort of sport? I thought that that was smart. And then when she goes into the staff meeting, there's literally no seat at the table for her. She has to sort of wedge her way in. And then when she makes a suggestion that's different, she's immediately dismissed. And I thought that was interesting that this came out in the middle of the Me Too movement. And I got to say, I would have loved to have seen Kristen Lester at the pitch meeting about, well, I'd like to do a short about feeling out of place in a male-dominated. But she went through with it. And I do think that oftentimes, yes, there's obviously a lot of Me Too stuff happening. But a lot of times I think that what really happens even more frequently is just people are ignored.
Dismissed.
Yeah, they're just dismissed and ignored if they don't fit in. And I think the bigger message is about belonging. She has to get to that by first she transforms herself into, she literally knits herself into something else. And by the way, when she knits herself into a guy or somebody with a suit, she becomes flat.
Right.
If I were teaching an intro to lit class, I think I might use this as a visual for, do you remember reading the E.M. Forster's essay about flat and round characters?
Oh, maybe.
A very famous, it's the origin of that term, a flat and a round character. And the round characters are the ones that are multifaceted. They also have the capacity for change and surprise. And that's what makes her different, is that she looks at the situation and she tries to adapt to it and change, and then she changes back. That's what makes her a round ball of yarn.
Yes, I know. I loved that literal
Yes.
that she made herself flat, and which I have to say is also what's so great about yarn is that you can make any dimensional thing. You're taking a line and making it into whatever shape you want. I felt it was a poignant message.
Well, and it's a little bit different from some of the other Pixar shorts. I mean, there's some great ones there, like remember the tin toy one, the tin toy and the baby, and then also the birds.
Yeah, the birds was the one I just watched over and over and over again.
Yeah. There's we'll just in case people forgot that there's all these birds on a wire, and then this big bird comes along, and all the birds are making fun of the big bird because he's not like them. So, I mean, there's a lot of interest in group dynamics and belonging. Often these short films explore the various facets of the good and bad parts of human nature and belonging and stuff.
Well, and in fact, the most recent one, Float, is like that, where this father has a baby who it turns out can float. And he's embarrassed because his baby is different from everybody else's baby. And so he doesn't really take the baby out. He sort of keeps him out. And then eventually he realizes that actually, this is a good thing. I do love that kind of arc of feeling uncomfortable with yourself and then the resolution of.
Yeah, there's a wonderful arc to these little animated characters learning these profound truths.
Right.
That said, I did struggle a little bit. It's interesting to watch this now and think about where we are now, because one of the things that Pearl does is she walks into this environment where everybody's the same and they already belong, but there's an incredible stereotyping of all of them liking sports and telling slightly off-color jokes at the water cooler and going out for wings. I mean, as much as they're dismissing her, there is a way that they're monochromatic too. And I think that that's getting at the nub of why we're struggling right now, is that there's that washing everybody with the same brush. And I think the vision of everybody being happy together at the end and being able to be themselves, it did seem a little naive to me.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's very pat.
We'll all just accept each other's differences and we'll get along. And it does get some other things right. I don't know if you noticed at the beginning, where before she even steps out of the elevator, the guy who's escorting her to her desk and who's so busy on his phone, he doesn't notice initially that she is a ball of yarn. But once he does, he texts all of his friends. And before she even steps out of the elevator, people are looking at her and she's different. So I thought that was another moment that gets at how awful we can all be to each other.
Right,
You
creating an
know,
environment of hostility.
yeah, before you get out of the elevator, everybody knows that you're the new girl and you're different. I thought it did a great job. Like, I almost wondered if she didn't make this film so that all the guys at Pixar would have to watch it.
I'd be like, I'm Sorry. Oh, is that what it feels like? Ah.
Let me put it this way. It's definitely worth watching. It's 8 minutes long. And I feel like it raises these issues in an interesting way. And I think that's what art is for, is it gets us to talk about these things.
Right.
How do you portray individuality without making this backdrop of conformity and diminishing the guys in the office
Right.
and making them jockey, beer drinking guys?
Yeah, because other than the colorful shirts at the end, they're still flat
They're
characters.
still flat. I mean, it's sort of women's revenge. The round women yarn ball characters.
Yeah, and I could relate. I mean, honestly, my husband is in tech and he is constantly using acronyms that I'm like, but what does that mean?
Yeah, I thought the language thing at the beginning was really smart. And I think we as knitters tend to forget that there is a language there. There's a code with everything, especially when you're starting out. I was teaching a friend of mine how to knit, and I said, okay, I'm going to show you how to do this, but I want you to write this down because you're going to need to look it up. Long tail cast on method. And the more I thought about it, the more I was thinking about part of what's hard when you're first learning to knit is all of the terminology, and it's abbreviated.
Right. I remember I knew how to knit and I came to knitting kind of slowly. There wasn't that initial shock of what are they talking about? But with crochet, I remember looking at a crochet pattern thinking, well, I know how to knit, so I can probably figure this out, and thinking, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
So I think
Yeah.
it's like anything, if you start with something small and then build your way up.
If you acknowledge at the beginning that part of what you're learning is the language for this, and everything does have its own language. And I think that's what we struggle with so many things, is that it's like we're not even speaking the same language. We're not interested in learning somebody else's language. If it's different from ours, I think that's where you get the dismissiveness. I'm a little concerned. I don't want to blame The Rise of MAGA on this one Pixar short film, but but I'm a little worried that this vision of everybody being happy and that everybody's all getting along and us accepting everything is exactly the sort of vision that MAGA folks find hopelessly woke in a bad
Right, but threatening.
and threatening.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, because they're giving up their guy culture, and you could say, well, but they're getting to wear colored shirts. They're getting to, like, what if they don't all want it? What if they don't want to ascribe to that? But what if they do? They're being forced to change.
Well, and I think that's what I loved about the movie was that when you include more people, you make it better for everybody. And when you exclude people, then you're limiting
Yeah.
your environment. And that when you limit your environment. So there's this, what do you call that? The culture of scarcity, that if by bringing somebody in, that means you got to take somebody out.
Right.
That's the misconception, I think, that if you bring somebody in, it's actually going to make it better for everyone. It's not like the people who are there are getting less. They're getting more. That was the message that I loved. But unfortunately, a lot of those people still think they're getting less and they're threatened.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch it in 2025 because it came out in 2018, and to think about how it was presenting, I think, a more hopeful and inclusive vision of what the workplace could be. But I think we're not in an environment where right now, because of the culture of scarcity, that you're gonna lose something. I do have to say that my other problem with it was at the beginning, they're having this staff meeting and they're talking about how they're not making their numbers, and they put up a little graph that says failure, and it looks just like it's a pink ball and it looks just like Pearl. But then, when she sort of becomes one of the guys, and she's basically saying the same things that they were too, but suddenly now they're successful and they put up another graph of their success and it looks like her.
The business suit
The
version of her.
business suit version of her, the flat version of her. But it's like, well, wait a minute. She's now making the same suggestions that they did. So what changed here that would cause this success? So this was a little moment. I don't know. That's probably kind of niggling, picky to sort of say. But it was like, well, wait a minute. She's just adopted their language and become one of them. How does one more of one of them? Because I thought one of the great things that the film was trying to make was that they go from being struggling to being successful in part because they're pulling in these other voices. But then there was this hole in the middle of that logic.
Yeah, probably because it was a short. They didn't have time to do get into it. That's my theory.
Yeah, it's worth watching. My husband and I got into a little bit of a fight because he didn't like it, which is fine. But I think that's why we need this stuff, is because we can talk about it and think about what do we like and what's problematic.
Yeah, I think you said it well, that if it makes you talk, then it's worthwhile.
Yeah, because I think we're not doing any of us any favors by not talking. And I was thinking a lot actually about Kim Davis and all the othering that's going on these days. And you can see the othering in that film. You can see it though both ways. And I think we're in a tough spot. We could talk about it on April 4th. Well, what are you knitting, Booty, these days?
So making a little bit of progress on my Kleina.
Oh,
Again,
the Kleiner.
yes, I'm almost to the point where I can join the shoulders, at which point you get a vest, which is very exciting.
Oh.
So, and then in the pattern,
That's no longer looking so small. Wow, that's big.
I think it's going to be okay. I held it up to a sweatshirt and I was like, well, you know what? It's actually about the same size as the sweatshirt. Maybe it's a little bit shorter, but once I put the ribbing on, I don't think it's going to be huge.
No.
We'll see. But anyway, that has been a long, long project.
Well, because it's four strands of yarn, right?
But it's a very rhythmic repeat. This is a workshop, basically, that was for the month of February in knit camp. And the nice thing about the knit camp is you're all doing this together. If there's an issue with something, then you have a lot of people that can help you out and advise you on what to do. I'm supposed to be one of those people.
Supposed to be one of those people, but not so much.
Much better ideas than that. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I should have thought of that. So for the sleeves, you knit the sleeves in the round, although you don't have to, you can knit them flat. And there was a problem with the color work not showing up because of the way it was worked. And there was somebody in knit camp who experimented with it because you're working with two colors and it's not technically color work, it's mosaic. So you're slipping stitches. So you're only working with one color on one row. So you're slipping the other color on that row.
Is that what creates that sort of window pane? Like, remember that hat that we made that the Andrea Mowry, she does a lot of that, right?
Like the shift
Yes.
cowl,
Okay.
all of those is exactly that. It creates kind of a window pane. This person realized that if you slip, instead of normally when you slip something, you slip it purl wise, and if you slip it knit wise, it solved the problem.
See, I'm just in awe of people who figure out stuff like that. I have to say, Patty Lyons, I was looking, I remembered she had a little thing about German short rows because I'm doing the ribbing on my Euro sweater at the bottom. And on the back, you do the German short rows just to give it a little more heft on either side. And I remembered she had something in there. It was about, though, like doing German short rows in the round. And I was like, oh my God, people do German short. Why would you? But I'm in awe of people who can figure these things out, like really complicated things.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, there was somebody on knit camp who re-knit her sleeves, which is a ton of work. And she tried several different ways. She just had that. I'm more of a just like, keep going. It'll be fine. No one will
That'll be underneath.
No one's going to see that part.
I'll just hold my arms close to my sides and nobody will be able to see that part and that'll be fine. And I
No
just won't
problem.
lift my arms. I just will plan on not lifting my arms when I'm wearing that sweater.
Who needs arms? And this is what I do like about her longer knit. But she has two. One is the sort of winter one, which is now in February. It used to be in January. And that's a longer one where you're really getting into techniques and things that you hadn't maybe known about before. And then the other is the 4 day one in July, and that one is much shorter. So
But no,
so
that sounds like a cool thing. I definitely would be intimidated, I think, by the speed that people are knitting. Well, as you know, I live on Grommet Island and Grommet time, and you live on Norbot Island in Norbot time.
well, and everyone's all over the map. There's some people that are finished, not a lot, and there are people who are at the same place that I am then. But are yeah, so it's kind of all over the map. What are you? Dun, 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 dun.
Well, I'm on the last band, the back band of the ribbing for my Eurus sweater. I did end up just sewing together the sides. I think I did an okay job because remember I didn't really like in the pictures. I didn't like the way it looked and I thought about maybe trying to knit something on, knitting it together, and I decided that was going to make the sides too different. So I've just joined as best I could the cable patterns on the front and back, and I plan to just keep my arms at my sides.
Just sew them together.
Just keep the other sides there. But I discovered that, and I haven't done it all that many times. I think the last time I did it was when I was knitting that vest for mom. Hi, mom. I really like picking up stitches. I'm kind of fascinated by how you can. So the cable is going horizontally in the Euro sweater, and then you pick up the stitches on the collar and then on the ribbed part, and then they're going vertically. And it's one of those things. It's like, well, how did somebody figure out that you could do this? And it's really cool.
I agree. There's so many things like that. Soon I will be sewing the shoulders together. It's fascinating. Endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, no, I think it's so cool. I've tried it on. I think it's going to be boxy, and I don't think it's going to be too short. I did do a pretty long ribbing on it. I did longer than the original pattern called for. I think the sleeves are kind of long too.
That's okay.
But yeah, well, and it's in part because I did a longer band of ribbing on the sleeves. But I kind of like to be able to fold the ribbing back, so that's why I did that. That's what I'm saying right now.
I like it like that. So this begs the question, what is the next colorful project that you're going to work on?
There was a color work pattern that I wanted to try. I was going to try and adapt it to like a poncho. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that because, as you explained to me, you can't really do color work flat. It needs to be in the round.
You can do it flat, but it's a lot harder, I think.
I don't need things that are harder in my life, I feel. I don't know. I'm going to try and do because I wanted to adapt it to a poncho, but I think I might just have to knit it as a sweater. Well, for the other thing is it's a bottom up. It's not a top down with a yoke, which is I think that's kind of interesting. I just haven't done very many sweaters, so and the only ones that I've done, well, I did the one that was the top down, the Marie Green, what was that called? Foxtrot, the cardigan. And now I've done one from the sleeve and the side with my cable odyssey. So I guess I should do one from the bottom up now and do a color, putting myself into that as we speak, acting like it's a plan.
Yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun. And I think there are advantages to both. The top down is nice because you can try it on and see like how is the length good is, but the side to side, you only have one sleeve island, so that was good. But the bottom up, what I would recommend is if you have a sweater that you like the length of, use that for how long to knit it, because that's the part that's kind of hard to know.
Oh, okay.
But
That's helpful. Yeah. Okay.
like, because a lot of times the bottom up, like in the case of the one I'm knitting now, it's still, you're still doing the sleeves in the round, or you, so you can still try it on and
It's not, it doesn't have a lot of color. It's just got, it's two-toned. Actually, the one in the pattern is like black and gray.
That's not really color.
I was going to do blue and gray, but.
Well, and there again too, I think, you know, you make what you want to wear, so.
Yeah. No, I like the pattern of it. So I'm kind of excited to try that. The other thing that I'm trying to do, so I don't know if I told you this, but for Christmas, I got my husband a printmaking class that we go to together on Wednesday nights at the Worcester Craft Cooperative. I'm really interested in how you can make texture, and we started with these gel plates. And so I thought I would try knitting up with some pretty thick yarn, just some different patterns, and putting them on to see if it'll make, if it will transfer that pattern onto the. I made one print out of bubble wrap, and that came out great.
Bubble wrap is excellent. We used to use that all the time for preschool printing. And you know what's fun to do with preschoolers? If you have any preschoolers in your life, if you have one of those little rolling pins that you know, kid toy
Oh,
rolling
yeah.
pin, and then you tape some bubble wrap around it, a little bit of a pain, but then you get to roll the bubble wrap across the
Into like
paper.
clay and stuff like that.
Well, in that case, it would be more like paint because they make textured rolling pins. So that's what I would use with it with Play-Doh. The other one that's really fun is Legos. If you have little prints with Legos, potato mashers, all kinds
Oh
of.
yeah. No, and there was this cardboard stuff that the instructor brought that created this really cool pattern. Yeah, I was just kind of, and I was like, "Well, what if I knit something?" Then I brought that in, and then I could do a whole series
I've knitted. I
of
love it.
knitted prints. Yeah,
Yes.
that would bring
Excellent.
together. You know, I have that book that my friend Betsy gave me on the different Japanese lace things, and I was like, I could do a whole series of swatches with lace patterns.
Was going to say lace is great for, well, lace is great for Play-Doh too.
Yes, but it was very interesting because I was really interested in like the texture and stuff, and my husband was really interested in colors and like painting on different things. It's super fun though. I mean, I have to say it's like from 6 to 9 and it totally flies by.
That's so great.
Just ordered a whole bunch of gel plates so that we could make stuff at home.
Every Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. We go out for a quick dinner and then we go over and have our print make. It's just I don't know. I'm just fascinated with how you get these different. This week, we're going to start with lino or linoleum.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun.
I'll send you a picture of my bubble wrap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the other thing, I was like, I don't know, I may be channeling my son here. I did everything in black.
What's this? It's all black.
All black. Do you wear black? To the point where the instructor was like, you can maybe try some other colors.
Gray? How about gray?
Gray? Gray? How about gray? How about sage? Lots of good things to think about as we hopefully are getting closer to spring, finishing up with our knits. And I would say definitely make these Dory Greenspan savory cheesy breads.
Get some art in your life and join us on April 4th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 to 6 Middle East Time.
And I think it's time to say, whatever you do, don't
Don't
knit
knit
like
like
my
my sister.
sister. Well, we still suck at that.
Some things never change.